I wasn't dilly-dallying, even though I am a dilly-daller. Now that I'm retired, I just finished my first week of no work. It was really interesting. I could not keep up with what day it was. I was like, what day is it? What time is it? It's like, oh my goodness. I remember back in COVID, we had some days like this, but now, you know, being retired, that's my future. I'm like, man, I'm going to have to figure this out. But anyway, yes. Oh, thank you. Okay. Okay. We're so glad you're here. I hope you pressed in and felt his glory and his presence and his peace and his joy. Oh my goodness. I said joy and I thought I was going to come off the back of that stool. It's like, man, I need some joy. Who needs some joy? In the days and the times that we live in, watching the news, watching the TV, watching your Facebook, which I'm not watching right now. It's crazy out there. But he is still alive. He is still reigning and ruling, and he's still on the inside of us, and we get to choose what we focus on, what we put our eyes on. And so I've made some better choices this week. Man, it is an amazing time to be alive. I've heard twice from two different people, and it's like every time they said it, I thought, yes, yes, yes. It's kind of a Christianese thing to say, but it's not straight from Esther. For such a time as this, God saw fit for us to be on this planet for this time, for this day, for our tomorrows and for eternity. How lucky are we that we get to experience earth life and carry heaven on the inside? Oh my goodness. Man, when you come awakened and you come alive, when you come awakened to that you are alive, when you come awakened that you are so alive, more alive than you could ever think and know, and who you truly are, not beat down, shouldn't be beat down, because you are beloved of the Father, beloved of the creator of the universe, y'all, the cosmos God, whatever you want to call him, Yahweh. Everything we see was made in him and through him, and so were you. And it is such an exciting time. And the enemy would love to come and steal and rob our joy and our hope for who we are. But the earth groans. They're waiting for us. They're waiting for us to display his beauty and glory through his joy and his goodness and his kindness and his peace in the middle of chaos, in the middle of darkness. It's not my turn to preach, y'all. I gotta stop. Anyway. Woo! Woo! I was just telling Carrie, I don't know how many of you can see how well I'm walking. I don't know. I mean, I was almost in a wheelchair just this summer. I'm limping a little. It's almost no limp. And I'm just gonna tell the testimony. Is that all right? He looked at me funny. Well, maybe I won't. You know, I've struggled for almost 5 years with my muscles and not being able to walk. Struggling, believing, praying. And in April, I gave up and said, God, I'm just going to have to go and find out, because if I don't, I'm going to end up in a wheelchair. Like, I've been standing as much as, you know, but I really couldn't stand. I could stand on the inside, but I couldn't stand on the outside. And I said, God, I'm going to have to go to the doctor. I'm going to have to find out what is happening to my muscles. I'm 60 years old. I got 90-year-olds that can run circles around me. And so I started the process with the doctors and more doctors and more doctors. And blood work and all these things. And while the blood work wasn't good on a lot of things, it was perfect on my muscles. Every muscle test I took was perfect. And so in late May, or early June maybe, one morning, I said, Holy Spirit, you can get to me everything. You can get the information to me. Because I'm going to rheumatologists and physical therapists and medical massage therapists. And then the next, and an orthopedic. And the next step is neurology because they want to see if I have MS. And I'm like, no, we are not going there. I refuse that. I rebuke that. No. And so we're going through all these doctors and I'm like, you can get me what I need to know. And there was a lady that came into the shop that afternoon, and she was in a wheelchair, and she had been much heavier over the years that I've known her, and she walked around fine. I mean, she could outrun me, and she was, you know, quite a bit heavier than I was. She could always walk really well, and she'd lost like 200 pounds, and she was in a wheelchair. And I said, why are you in a wheelchair? And she said, I have diabetes, and I was taking metformin, and it destroyed my muscles. Well, y'all, I'm a diabetic, and I'm on metformin. The very same day, y'all, I asked the Holy Spirit in my office that morning, Lord, you can bring people across my path. You can bring the answer to what I need to know, what's going on with these muscles. The doctors are confused. My doctor can't figure it out. They don't understand. And boom, 4 hours later, maybe, here she's sitting right in front of me, telling me, I have ended up in a wheelchair. She goes, I've gotten off metformin. I'm doing better. I can walk a little bit better, but I knew I'd be in here for a long time. So I brought the wheelchair. I came in the wheelchair because I still can't stand for a long time. At that time, I could only stand for maybe 5 minutes without starting to get very weak, and y'all have seen me, you know, I'll have to tell you. So I had a rheumatologist appointment that week, the very next day, and I asked her about it, and she said, well, that's not my lane, ask your PCP. So I asked my PCP in June, and she said, no, you're not on enough metformin to do that to you. I don't think that's what it is. And I said, well, I'm on another medication that lowers blood sugar. Couldn't we try? And she's like, no, I don't think that you take enough to do that. And I was like, okay. So I have a follow-up with my rheumatologist in August. And she says to me, after we went through everything, she still just cannot figure out what's going on with my muscles, and said, well, did you ever talk to your PCP about metformin? I said, I did. I told her what she said. I said, but I don't know why we can't try. And she goes, I don't know why we can't try either. I think you should get off of it. Let's get off of it for 2 months. Within the first week, I noticed a difference. My massage therapist, who I go to every week, who does deep tissue and stretching with me to help me stay movable and mobile, said, what are you doing differently with your muscles? And I said, nothing. She goes, okay, they're really much better. The second week, she was like, Karen, your muscles have stayed good. Because normally they get soft and then it's like Groundhog Day. You know, I wake up the next morning, I'm right back where I started, you know. And so she's like, something is different. And I said, well, I've been off metformin for 2 weeks. And so I went to the physical therapist, who I had not seen in 3 weeks because we'd had things happen and I had to move my appointments. I went to the physical therapist and he's like, what is going on with you? He's like, it is like biblical proportion difference in your walking. You walked in here straight. You walked in here strong. Both feet are touching the ground. Now, I'm not telling you to go get off your metformin, okay? Tommy takes metformin. It doesn't bother him. My dad takes metformin. It doesn't bother him. Everybody's different. Everybody. But y'all, you guys have been standing with me, praying with me for years. And when that lady said metformin, and I thought, I started taking metformin in 2019, and I started having the muscle weakness in early 2020. The timing. And then, of course, because of the muscle weakness and the stiffness, I couldn't walk right. I've fallen 6 times in 4 years. And so I just want to tell you, whatever you need, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of counsel, everything you need an answer to in your life, everything you need an answer for your path, for your health, he has the answer and he can give it to you. But y'all, we gotta ask. I mean, I've been asking him to heal me, right? We've been praying. I've been asking him to heal me. He healed me 2,000 years ago. I've been enforcing my healing and people standing with me to enforce that healing and speak over those muscles and speak over those joints. But I just needed a simple little tweak. Because, you know, he could have zapped my, and he did zap my legs in worship in July. I felt it. I was up here worshiping and I felt a zap into my thighs in July. And it helped. He could do that, but if I keep putting something in my body that's poisoning me, not everybody, it's not going to help. So I just want to encourage you. He wants to get involved. This is a big thing, right? My walking affects my ability for everything I do, for my relationships, people ask me to go places, and I'm thinking, are there going to be stairs? How low are the chairs going to be? I'm always having to, like, figure out, can I get out of that chair? I wonder what the toilets are going to be like. If they've got those little bitty tiny toilets, I can't get up. I mean, you know, it affects everything. God wants me to be free, to be with you freely, to go and do freely. Amen? And he wants that for us, to all of you. So if there's a question you've been asking him, sometimes it just, or believing for, you have to just kind of ask more directly. I said, you can bring the answer to me. You can bring people across my path. And that's exactly what he did. So I encourage you to do that. I'm going to pray over the offering, and we have a prayer request for Miss Karen Fudge. They lost a little sister, Martha, this weekend. And so I don't know how old she was. I don't think she was very old, but just want to pray for them. And we want to pray for Stacy. She's home, not feeling well as well. So, Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you. We celebrate you. We celebrate you, Triune God. We're so thankful and grateful. Oh, grateful that you are with us, you are for us, you're not against us, that you have everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. And we release that right now over Stacy where she's at. We speak to her body in the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, that her organs, her muscles, her nerves, tissue, everything will begin to respond to your spirit blowing and moving upon her right now to bring her into perfect alignment, every muscle, every nerve into perfect peace, that she will have energy to restore back to her. Father, every issue, every organ to function the way it was created to function. And we pray over Miss Karen Fudge and all of her family. Lord, I thank you that your peace that passes all understanding is true. It is so real. Many of us have experienced moments where peace has come where there should be no peace. And we just ask you, as Comforter, Holy Spirit, to wrap her family members and herself in perfect peace and hope. We thank you that there is truly no more death, that we will miss our loved ones here, but we will all be reunited for eternity. Let us refocus. Let her family be able to see that truth and hold on to that in these dark days of losing their sister. Father, I thank you for this offering. I thank you for those that have prepared to give this morning by cash or check. Father, I thank you for them. I thank you for our online givers that are giving through our Tithely app. Lord, we just thank you that you have purpose and plans for Arise Church for such a time as this, for your spirit to move, for your presence to be made known in greater ways. And we say yes, for you to have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor's continuing on today with get ready. Are you get ready to grow? And kids are doing growing up with God. Welcome to our world of love. I love it that we're raising up our children to be lovers of God and one another. Amen. Okay. You ready?
Morning. Open your Bibles up to Jeremiah chapter 2. For once, we're all going to the same place at the same time. Yeah. You say wow now, but just wait, buddy. I'm kidding. Hold your finger there. Well, actually, it's the only verse in my notes, so. Well, wherever we go with this, this is where God wants us to go. Penelope, such a beautiful woman, little child. God's good, yeah? You know, you need to tell yourself God's good, because circumstances will tell you otherwise. God's kind of like a politician who gets blamed for everything, right? Oh, you guys don't like that, do you? Because you like your politicians. Okay. Let's say God gets a bad rap because he gets blamed for everything. It must be God's will if it happened. God's in control. No. God's in charge. God's in authority. But he's not in control. And if you have trouble understanding that, I suggest you visit a kindergarten room, because the teacher is the authority in the room, but they may not, you know. You may not look that way. God gives us free choice, doesn't he? Except for Paul. Paul didn't have a free choice. Like there was someone else. I'm sorry. My mind's not working really well today, but it's going to in just a second. It's going to boot up. I was telling Michael, I got out at the post office this morning because I check the mail every Sunday morning at the post office, and I check it at the post office on Sunday morning because no one else is there. It's a good time to check it. And I got out and looked at my shoes, and I had my Crocs on. And you're fired because you let me get in the car and drive all the way over here with just my Crocs on. Oh, man. Jeremiah 2 says this, starting in verse 13. God's given him this word, and he says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water." Jeremiah was a prophet in the 7th century. He actually served four kings, the good king Josiah and two of his sons and one of his brothers. And the reason that there were four different kings is because the Egyptians killed Josiah. The Egyptians took his oldest son off to Egypt as a captive and then killed him. And then he installed his younger brother, who Babylon took off to Babylon as a captive, and then actually sent him back, and then set up his uncle as king, and he eventually came, and Babylon did, and killed his uncle, the king, in front of his sons, and then he blinded him. Jeremiah lived in a terrible time. He really did. And he wasn't well liked. He never married. They did horrible things to him. The Jewish people did horrible things to him because they didn't like what he was saying. And they probably didn't like this word from God either, which is a good word from God. It's just saying, hey, you're trying to get living water from somewhere that's not the source, right? Jesus is the source. He's the one who stood up and said, if you believe in me, rivers of living water will come out of you. Fountains of living water will come out of you, right? Amen? Well, the people of Israel in their time, they had forgotten that. I wasn't going to preach this morning. I had a really good sermon that you'll hear next week on Peter and his dream. And we can say it was God, but his dream really, to Peter at the moment, probably felt like an LSD flashback. But we'll get to that next week, okay? So, but I got in my office today, and I went to just put my thoughts to notes, which I never do on Sunday morning. It's always done long before Sunday morning. And as I sat down to do it, God got my attention and reminded me of the prophet Jeremiah. So here goes, right? By the way, I don't want to. This has got nothing to do with the message, but I don't want to let the day pass without saying something. Okay? Got to say something, right? I do have a microphone in my hand. 2 weeks ago, or a little over a week ago, a horrible tragedy happened to America. Charlie Kirk, who was a political activist and an entrepreneur and had built Turning Point USA to the largeness that it is, and was shot and killed, and it never should have happened. No one should ever be killed for their political statement. No one should be killed until they just shouldn't. People should be free to speak. People should be free, even if they don't like the current president, they should still be free to speak. All of us in America have that right, separate from the majority of the rest of the world. But that's not about free speech. My deal is this. America is hurting today. There's a huge majority of people in America that are hurting, whether they agreed with Charlie Kirk or they didn't. No one deserves to be shot down in front of their wife and their kids. And yet, we also must remember that it happens every day in America. And sometimes they're children in classrooms. And sometimes they're caught up in gang warfare. And that doesn't make their death any less significant. A person is created in the image of God. And when we walk away and see other people less than, what is the Latin word? Imago Dei? The image of the divine, we walk away and see people with less than the image of divine that God created in them, whether it's awakened or not. We cease to see them through the eyes of our Father. And we see them through the eyes of the enemy who wants to divide us and not unite us. So, there's that. A friend of mine texted me. Actually, she texted Karen and I on Friday, and she said, "I'm so excited. I've got this whole new word on DNA." And Hannah said, "It's divine nature awakened." And I thought, man, that's good. That's pretty good stuff there. So when she comes here and she preaches that, just remember you heard it from me first. Oh, Jeremiah. You know, they put him in a well that didn't have any water in it. It just had mud in the bottom. He sunk down to his waist in it. And they left him in there for days and days and days and days. Of course, they treated him better than they treated the prophet Isaiah. Prophet Isaiah, to shut him up, they put him inside of a log and sawed the log in two. I tell you this because the nation of Israel, actually it wasn't Israel, it was Judah. It was just Judah. Because the northern nation of Israel had already been decimated by the Assyrians, and the Assyrians were actually in charge of Judah. Judah was a vassal state during the life of Jeremiah until they became a vassal of Egypt, and then they became a vassal of Babylon, and then they became a vassal of Persia, and they became a vassal of the Greeks, and the vassal of the Romans, and then they didn't have a nation any longer. Until 1948. But they looked at Jeremiah and they didn't like what he said. Because they didn't worship Yahweh. They did, but they worshiped everything else too. And they actually had done it pretty much all along. King Josiah's grandfather, whose name Hezekiah, destroyed the bronze snake that Moses had crafted on the Exodus that had the people could look at when the snakes were biting them and they wouldn't die. Remember that story? They took that bronze snake and they put it in the tabernacle and they put it in the temple of Solomon and they worshiped that thing until Hezekiah got sick of it and destroyed it. And you're not going to like this. You're not going to like this at all, but it's the truth anyway. And another item that they had that they loved and they worshiped and they honored was the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, they didn't like idols, but they didn't like other people's idols. They still had their idols. And then they began to adopt other people's idols. The prophet Ezekiel, in one of the early chapters in his book, he says, the Lord took me in like trance, took him to the temple in Jerusalem before it was destroyed, and he showed him a statue of the sun god of Egypt being worshipped in Solomon's temple. And Jeremiah, he looked at these people and said, he looked at his nation and said, we have to turn because we've forgotten who our God is. I mean, you read chapter 2, it's really a good chapter. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. But it says, you cry out to gods that don't exist. You cry out to stone, you cry out to wood, and none of us do we? We don't worship idols, do we? I mean, you can't even say someone worships a bass boat just because he's out fishing on a lake today. Priorities may be out of whack, right? Sorry, I'm really dry today. The idea that God is our top priority, I really have a problem with. I know it's just semantics, but he's not. You can't put God on a list with everything else. You just can't. Because God isn't the number one priority. God is the universe that your list exists in. He's the one who was and is forevermore. He's the one who has always been, right? He's the one who declares the end from the beginning, right? I mean, he's in a class by himself. You can't put him on, today I'm going to worship God, I'm going to spend 10 minutes with God, and then I'm going to spend the rest of the day doing everything else. As ridiculous as that sounds, if we would actually spend 10 minutes with God, it would make a world of difference. These people forgot where their living water came from, and we forget it by our actions. The first step, the first move in the right direction of getting ready to grow is about realizing that you will never grow outside the presence of God. That if you don't cultivate a love for just sitting in his presence, especially when he's quiet, sometimes he's quiet on purpose. You ask and you ask and you ask and you ask. I need an answer for this. I need an answer for that. I got all this stuff. And you think if you put the right spiritual coins in the vending machine, you can pull the selection you want and it's just going to pop out. I'm sorry, but your relationship with God is much more complex and nuanced than that. And I realize you don't like that word, nuance, but nuance is, let's just say it's complicated. It's like when you go to God and you're not talking to me. You're not saying anything. You're not giving me any answers. And he says, what did I tell you last to do? And you remember, or you play dumb, which is it's a lot of fun just to play dumb with God. Because, I mean, you know, he knows, right? But still, we do it, right? And he goes, what about that thing I asked you to do? And you just said no. Or you act like you didn't even hear me. How about that deal? Because that's what these people were guilty of. They were guilty of forgetting that they were chosen, yes, but they were chosen for a purpose. They were chosen to be in relationship with God. He didn't want to enact a whole book of rules. He wanted children. He wanted sons and daughters to love him. He wanted people to be the people that he created them to be. You know how you can tell if someone is a person that is that has the opportunity to be who God created them to be? I always give them the Revelation, I think it's the Revelation 5 test. Do they have a language? Are they from a land? Are they a people? Do they speak? Then yeah, they do. Because the Bible says that Jesus purchased men for God from every tribe and every language and every nation. So everybody that goes under that classification, they're all about, God is all about. Regardless of what they're wearing on the outside or where their heart is. Believe me, if he was going to get rid of somebody who wasn't living up to his expectations, I'd be gone this second. He would have killed me a long time ago. You guys all right out there? Y'all were looking at me like a calf at a new gate. I like this. I like what God told Jeremiah to say. You dug a cistern. You know what a cistern is, right? You know, we put barrels underneath our gutters because we want to capture the rainwater, right? Well, at my house, my housemate puts a 5-gallon bucket underneath the condensation pipe from the air conditioner so that he can water the plants with that water because it's free water. Actually, I told him it's not free. It's running. We have that water because somebody's paying to cool the house. That I want it colder than anybody. Anyway, that's because I look good in hoodies. So I look like a thug. Man, I love it. I see my reflection in the mirror and I go, you a thug, Tommy Lee. We don't spend enough time with God. We think we come to church and we look nice. We sit in our favorite seat. I have a favorite seat. Every Sunday when I come in here, I sit right there where Karen is. She's in my chair right now. I don't know who she thinks she is. But she's in my seat. We come in here and we worship. And we go live the rest of the week. And I wonder how many times collectively we think of God. Collectively, how many minutes do we, as a congregation, as a family of God, as people that have a common belief and faith, how often do we speak to God and say, thanks. You're just too good to be true. I know we pray about things. I know we you know, God, give me that, take care of this, do this. I realize that. And none of that's bad. One of the writers of the New Testament said, you have not because you don't ask not. And apparently he never met Americans because, buddy, we ask. We have all kinds. We had a whole series on the prayer of, what was the guy's name? Started with a J. Jabez? Jabez. No wonder I couldn't remember his name. I should have named him Jimmy. I would remember that. They could have called him Tom. I'd have never forgot that deal. But we know how to ask God things, but do we know how to just sit in his presence? Do we know how to soak in his presence? Are we like sponges when we go in there? Or do we sound like talk radio? Those guys never shut up. I don't care who they're talking about or what they're talking about. They never. It's like podcasters. You know what I do to them? I mute the sound and read the captions. You can't get it over on me, buddy. No way. God is, I don't know, I can't say this any better than this. God is worth your time. The Father is worth your time. It's worth letting, look, things fall through the cracks every week, right? We never get our to-do list done, do we? Because if I get mine done, then I can't even scratch the to-do list that Karen gives me, right? I do my list first. Kidding. But things fall through the crack all the time in most people's lives. I know some of you are self-actualized and you get everything done and everything's right. You've meal planned for the next 16 years. And you're about half prepper, so you put back enough stuff that if the world blew up, you'd have a lot of stuff that blew up with it. But why don't we just say, you know what? I'm taking the day off and I'm spending it with God. I'm going to go sit by a creek and I'm going to watch the water flow over a rock. I'm not taking nothing to write on. I'm not taking nothing to listen to. I'm going to leave my phone in the car because somebody's going to call me and tell me that it's the worst thing that's ever happened. Walmart's out of plum tomatoes. I don't know. Eggs went up another penny. Chickens are getting rich, man. Chickens are turning into billionaires. Oh, yeah. Chickens aren't paid. You ever seen those chickens in those cages in the trucks going down that hill in Batesville? I just wave. Bye, buddy. That wind feels good now, but you're going to hate it in a minute. Sometimes I wonder if I'm ever that chicken in that cage, you know? God's just waving, hey, Tommy, just wait till you see what's coming tomorrow, bruh. I'll be there. But why don't we do that? Why don't we just say, hey, hang a note on the door. I'm out with God. Not out to lunch. I'm just out with God. I'm spending, because that's what their problem was. They had all this stuff. They had this wonderful temple. They had all this beautiful tradition. They had all of these laws. They had the Torah. They had all of this stuff. They were the chosen people of God, but they were completely and utterly ignoring him, according to Jeremiah, who they hated. Nobody likes somebody that rains on somebody else's parade. Well, if you got a parade that you shouldn't be having, guess what? Take a day off with God. Every husband in here is thinking, "Now I'm going to do that. I'm just going to tell. I'm going to tell her today. I'm taking a day off." Every mom's thinking, "Yeah, I'd like to take a day off with God." Get you behind me, devil! It's an alarm going off. It's 11:30. Three things real quick. You guys all right? So the first one is, and you've heard these before, but these are good things. On your journey, when you need more direction or you need more assurance, take time to ask the Spirit of God. And most importantly, give him time to answer. Number two. This is a common thing that comes out of my mouth, but it's very good. Letting go of what you know will allow you to grasp what you need to know. Sometimes the answer is not coming because you're still trying to answer it with what he told you 2 years ago. Remember, it's the words that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's a daily deal. I mean, there's a great example of it in the Exodus, of the manna. Don't take more than you need for that day because it'll be bad in the morning. I don't know how something that comes, falls out of heaven is bad the next day, but that's what happened to the manna. What was manna? I have no idea. But they fed them till they got to the promised land. But you got to let go of what you know so that you can get a hold of what you don't. I don't know if any of y'all have heard this, but there's a whole group of people that think Jesus is coming back on Tuesday, September 23rd. Yeah, I'd love it. Yeah, come on. But Well, I'll just wait till next week. Maybe we'll all be in heaven. Maybe I'll be here. We'll see. Maybe God will catch up on his to-do list and just annihilate me. And then, you know, yeah, that's it. Number three, experiencing the love of God in your journey will always take you beyond the level of comfort and understanding you currently have. You've got. Sometimes you just need to go to God and say, I'm too comfortable in what I know. I'm too convinced of what I know. I'm not afraid to read something or to hear something that doesn't, I don't already agree with. And usually I'm just not going to agree with them because I don't agree with them yet. I remember when I was young, I was a gun nut. I really was. Not a dangerous gun nut, but I was a gun nut. And I would read Outdoor Life, my hand-me-downs from my uncle. I read every other month. My other cousin got the other months. But I would read those, and those guys would hand load their own ammunition. And I would read that, and I go, it's $10 at Otasco. We didn't have a Walmart then, but we had an Otasco. Y'all remember Otasco? How about Gippsland's? You ever had a Gippsland's? Man, they were a great place. Anyway, ammo was cheap then, right? Comparatively. I couldn't understand it. And I'd get mad because they would always push. You got to hand load. If you're going to shoot, right, you're going to hand load. Right? Yeah. Fast forward about 15 years. I'm a newly married, living in a mobile home. I'm resizing my handgun ammunition casing with a die that you hold in your hand and you tap with a hammer. Which is real good when there's no primer inside the casing. Yeah, I did that. It made a loud noise inside that, what was that thing, like 6.5 feet wide and 4 feet long? It was a short little, tiny little trailer. We had four of us in there. We had six of us in there at one time, and a Rottweiler, and a Chihuahua. Man, I miss my Rott. But you got to let go of what you don't know, of what you feel comfortable with sometimes. Sometimes you don't. It's not a golden rule. It's not, if I feel comfortable, I need to let go of that. You know, it's like the people that say, I don't want things to have me, so everything that I have, I give away. God doesn't want you to give everything away. Even when he asked the young ruler to give away his wealth, it was understood that he was going to keep a third of it to live on. Otherwise, he would be one of those people that needed somebody to give him something to live on. And there may not be another nice guy coming around, because after all, he turned around and left, right? So it wasn't the one-third that he was not willing to give up. It was the two-thirds. He should come be an American, be taxed like us. Just go to God sometime this week and say, I'm too comfortable. I dare you. I'm just too comfortable in what I believe and what I think, and I know that there's more out there. Good gosh, the universe expands 43 miles every second in every direction. 43 miles in every direction. And I still think the same thing that I thought when I was a kid. The universe is amazing, but my brain is a living organism created by my Father. In fact, he didn't create it in a vacuum. It works with my emotions and my thoughts and my actions. Keeps me breathing. I don't even think about I need to breathe. My heart beats and I don't even think about it. What else can I be taught to just be reflex about the grace and the mercy of God. Let's all stand. I got one more verse I'll read you. Is that all right? We're way late, but you'll be okay. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name and make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of his wonderful works. Glory to his name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he's done and his miracles and the judgments he's uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. You and I are included in chosen ones. Amen? Father, we just thank you that you're more than words can say. And Lord, we ask you to get us out of our comfort shoes and get us into some shoes that we grow in, Lord. Get us all ready to grow. In Jesus' name, amen.